We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by I.B. Falkeson, who's with the law firm of Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Joining us for this segment is a young lady by the name of Dolly Oberai, who's the CEO of C-Square Technologies. What is C-Square Technologies, Dolly?
C-Square Technologies is a defense and government contractor specializing in e-learning, training, and human capital management.
Say a little bit more about e-learning. What does that mean?
Well, we focus on improving human performance through training. So, for example, we do a lot of training for the United States Air Force air crews. So we train them on different aircrafts like the B-1s, B-52s. We get them mission ready. And now we are also getting pilots ready for unmanned aircrafts. So that's just an example of what type of training we do.
And when was the company founded?
In 1989.
And how big or small are you today?
Today we are 400 strong and $60 million in revenue.
So why start a company?
Well, it's the most exciting thing to do. Well, I graduated from college in a very innovative degree and didn't know what to do with it. So I tried to work for a couple of defense contractors in the Washington, D.C. area, and then it wasn't going so well, so I decided to start my own company and leveraging my innovative technologies.
And the initial vision was born out of your research from Harvard University. Is that correct?
Correct.
So take us back a little bit to how all this got started.
Well, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family in New Delhi, and I worked, after graduating from college, I worked briefly for my mother, who has an education trust with several K-12 schools. And when I worked for her, I realized that the students that we were catering to were the first generation of learners, and they had really never left their little homes, their little shacks that they were growing up in, and didn't know anything about the world. So I thought we could bridge the gap between them and the world through technology. So I left home as a tourist and traveled the world in search of technology.
How old were you when you did that?
I was 25.
And you came to the United States?
I came to the United States, and I traveled around the country and visited many colleges in search of computers.
Uh-huh. So that you could bring technology back to your mother's business?
That's correct.
And you happened to find yourself one day at MIT. And then what happened?
So I went and attended a demonstration. There was a little demonstration of how to use computers in education. Totally fascinated me, and that was exactly what I was looking to take back to India. And so I decided to apply to school. It was a program. The Media Lab was doing a lot of innovations in education technology, and Harvard was offering actually a degree program. So I applied to the Harvard program, and the rest is history.
Well, it wasn't that simple. I understand it was a little tough to get in.
It was a little tough to get in. I did not have all the credentials and the capabilities at that time. For example, you needed to take the test for English language and GRE and so on and so forth. And I had come with $200 in a backpack, and I couldn't quite have the money to pay for those tests. So I had to go and petition to the admissions officers and persisted till they got sick of me and asked me to go and talk to the dean and make my case. And I did. I articulated my vision that I wanted to bring the globe to my schools in New Delhi through technology. And so that's how I got accepted.
You said that you articulated your vision, and I love that. I mean, can you just expand on the importance of having a clear vision as an entrepreneur?
You know, sometimes people think that things happen by accident. Actually, they don't. When you have an idea, you have to make sure that your idea can then be implemented. And those ideas are born. Then at that point, you have to have a vision on how you're going to take it from idea to implementation. So articulating that vision and then implementing is actually the key, because there are a lot of ideas, but entrepreneurs are not enough in this world.
Yeah, but the 495 is littered with people who had great ideas and never acted on them.
Correct.
What is it about you that so compelled you to come to this country with $200 in a backpack, convince MIT to accept you on a vision? What's going on there?
Well, I think I was really excited about technology and how we could use technology to educate especially the kind of client base that we were catering to, that it just, I was going to do whatever it took.
When did the light go off for you, though? Because the way I understand it, there wasn't a lot of technology in India at the time. Where didn't you realize that, A, technology existed, and B, there's a place for it here?
First of all, I taught, as I mentioned, I taught the first generation of learners. They had no exposure to anything. I used to teach them social studies and geography. I would show them the map, and they didn't know what that meant. So that's when the light went off, what if we connected them through satellites? We connected the kids in Japan and Africa with the kids in New Delhi, and they learned from each other about their different cultures and countries. That's when the light went off, and I said, okay, there must be a way to do this. Maybe it's computers, maybe it's satellite-based education.
And so you just decided to go on a nice personal journey for a long time and figure it out?
Yes.
Tell us about your mother. I understand that she owned a business at a time when women don't normally do that.
Correct. So my mother moved from Pakistan to India in 1947 during the time of partition. She was totally homeless and came as a refugee. And when she got her college degree, she moved to New Delhi. She realized that there were a lot of refugee developments coming up, but there were no schools. So she started establishing elementary schools to cater to that first generation of learners. And that was very inspirational for all of us. I worked with her very closely through the developmental phases of her schools. And then, of course, when I graduated from college, I worked there. So that's what really inspired me.
But that's such an uncommon thing. What was that like for you growing up?
It was both good and bad. Bad because everybody felt sorry for us as kids because they felt that we were motherless, and good because she engaged us fully in her venture, and we learned so much at a young age, which made us very independent, which made us very focused on education and having professions as we grew up.
Right. And you said your father was supportive of all this, which
Absolutely.
Is also unusual, isn't it?
Very unusual. If it weren't for my dad, I don't think my mother would have a business, and none of my two sisters and I would be professionals either.
Are your sisters entrepreneurs as well?
Yes. My younger sister actually runs our trust, and my older sister decided to go into public service. She did run a school, and then she went into public service.
So why not go back to India and start a business there? Why stay here?
At the time, there was no option because India, everybody said it was too early. We were not able to adopt technology at the time in 1986. However, now is the time, and yes, we are contemplating starting a university and an online campus and so on and so forth. The time is right now. Everybody's ready, and technology is there.
So you start the business back in 1989. You don't have a business degree, do you?
I don't.
Okay, so how'd you learn how to run a business?
On my own. One step at a time. You sound like my dad. He said I needed an MBA. One of the things that I learned was that when you have a vision and you have an idea, you've got to implement it. So I just started consulting for my customers, and they were very pleased with what I was doing. And then they are the ones who inspired me to start producing solutions. They said, you can't just keep doing research studies for us and tell us how great technology is. You've got to actually produce solutions. That's when I realized that now I need a real company with capital, with access to market, employees, and so on and so forth. So I bootstrapped initially and then got some help from SBA for an initial business loan to get it all started.
Where did you learn how to lead?
I think one of the things that, as I mentioned, is that I was raised by leaders. Both my parents are entrepreneurs, and they were my role models. They led from their heads, their hearts, their hands, and their feet. And that was really something that they inspired me to do.
What's the toughest thing you've ever accomplished?
I think the toughest thing that I've accomplished is taking the business from zero to $60 million. I think that is really, really hard. As an immigrant, especially in 1986 when being an Indian was not in style. People were more concerned about my ethnicity rather than my capabilities. It was extremely difficult to get anything started or obtain projects or capital or access to market.
How do you stay optimistic as an entrepreneur? Because there are so many challenges, and what people don't talk about are the risks and the risk for failure and uncertainty. How do you stay optimistic?
Actually, you know, one of the characteristics of an entrepreneur is optimism. If you're not positive and you're not optimistic, you're not going to be successful. So when I launch into, say, even a new area of practice, my gut tells me this is going to work, and if it doesn't work, never mind. You know, you'll still get up and start running again. So I think the key is not to be scared. When you're overcautious and you're scared, you can never really succeed. So I launch into things and make sure that we give it the best shot possible, and then if it's successful, great. If it's not, we rebuild.
Where do you want to be 10 years from now?
10 years from now, I hope that we'll have our university in New Delhi.
If I was sitting interviewing your mom, would she be surprised at your success?
I think she would be only surprised only because I grew up as a very quiet child, and she never knew, both my parents never really knew who I was, and I didn't know who I was till I came to the United States either.
Mm-hmm. How about your proudest moment up till now, Dalla?
That's a hard question. I think the proudest moment for me at this moment in time is that our son wants to be an entrepreneur. He's an idea guy. I think that's a great place to be at as a mom and as a business owner.
Wonderful. What's the website address for C-Square Technologies?
It's www.c2ti.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dalla Oberoi, who's the CEO of C-Square Technologies. I'd like to thank I.B. Falkison with Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney for helping me with the interviews today, and we've had a great show.